Hello everyone, I am FinFish, and before we start this Odds on Mania podcast, do not forget that the odds may change and the odds are different on other sites. But if you're going to bet, make sure the odds are in your favor. Check the website to make sure the odds don't change your bet when they change the odds. But other than that, let's start this show.
Alright guys, we're going to do a little bit of a special episode here. We're going to do some odds on WrestleMania, and I am FinFish. I'm here with Mike. Tell them a little about yourself, Mike.
Well, you know, me and Tony have known each other for, about 4 years now?
Yeah.
Give or take. We've been meeting at Sam's Town, watching wrestling, been following the Vegas wrestling scene, which I'm going to talk about a little bit in detail in a minute. And, you know, over the couple of years, we've noticed a site of the United Kingdom that puts odds out there. When it pertains to WWE pay-per-views. And to be honest with you, you know, Fish, they're pretty spot on. Yeah. I mean, very rarely do they get it wrong.
Right.
So we're going to take kind of a stance on the own odds on this and where we stand on it when it comes to, you know, to WrestleMania. You know, but before we get into that, you know, I'd really like to take a minute to talk about Vegas wrestling. You know, this is kind of where, like, our home base is, and, you know, 2 weeks ago, Vegas was a really big hotbed for wrestling. I mean, Fish, you know, me and you were at the FSW show on Sunday, but the whole weekend was a big weekend for professional wrestling. I'm not going to say sports entertainment, but yeah. Professional wrestling in Las Vegas. Agree?
Yeah, the ROH was in town with their 15th anniversary on Friday. Tapings were on Saturday, and FSW was on Sunday.
It was on Sunday, and you know, me and you were there, third row, because we were a little too cheap to get the first row. Joe DeFalco, that's a shout out to you if you want to hook us up for doing the podcast, giving you a shout out. But I'll be honest with you, I didn't go to the Ring of Honor shows. A friend of mine did, said they were very excellent. But I'll be honest with you, the FSW show, from top to bottom, was an unbelievable show. And it's an independent wrestling organization that, you know, most independent wrestling organizations out there, that if they can get 300 to 400 people to their show, that to them is a win. And here FSW was with a packed house of 1,100 people. You had Broken Matt Hardy on the show. You had John Morrison. You had Kevin Cross. From top to bottom, I mean, it really wasn't a bad card. And to me, the match of the night was a three-way match that had Brian Cage, who's a big star in Lucha Underground, with a new up-and-comer that FSW brought in by the name of Keith Lee. You know, Fish, tell me what you think about that match. That was probably the match that we most got involved in.
Yeah, it was the biggest match, and just in case people didn't believe me, I did tell Melissa Santos, the announcer, to fuck off dinner.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
For anybody who doesn't believe him, he actually said that to her.
Yeah, she didn't say from the 559, but she got to it. But best night of light also was Sammy Callahan.
It used to be Solomon Crowe, right?
Solomon Crowe is Jacob in Lucha Underground.
The only thing to me, and I give a lot amount of props to Joe DeFalco and Rocky T. For what they do at FSW. I mean, what they do is produce new stars in this industry at the time of building their own brand, and it's not a very easy thing to do. You know, to draw 1,100 people that are paying on average of $35 to $30 you know, for a ticket to an independent wrestling show is a big deal. You know, like I said, most independent shows draw anywhere from 300 to 400 people, and they're paying for one ex-big WWE star. And they're not, you know, making a ton of money off of it. You know, what FSW has done since 2009 is just phenomenal. And this is kind of going to piggyback into something I want to say that I didn't think I was going to be allowed to say tonight, but since the Baltimore Sun kind of took the forefront on this and kind of broke the story, I'm going to say one of the biggest reasons FSW has grown the way that it has is a gentleman by the name of Kenny King.
Yep, Kenny King.
Kenny King, the pretty boy pit bull. Kenny got to come up with a better name than that kid, but Pretty Boy Pitbull, Started out his career in WWE in a TV show that one of my best friends won the first season, known as Tough Enough. Kenny was on the second season, made the final four. Honestly, I think fortunate for him, he did not win. Most of the people that went on that show were pushed to the main roster and never had a chance. Kenny kind of made his future, you know, coming to Vegas and wrestling on an independent scene and then moving to Ring of Honor and, you know, then to TNA Impact and then now back to Ring of Honor. But for those of you that don't know or didn't read the Baltimore Sun article this week or the Yahoo Sports article, I think they picked it up as well, Kenny King is actually going to be on the new season of The Bachelorette. So if you haven't seen Kenny King on social media lately, the reason is if you know anything about reality television, which I know very little, I've had two friends that have been on two reality TV shows, they pretty much take away your social media privileges as well as your cell phone privileges. Tony will tell you I had the privilege of talking to Kenny on Sunday night during the FSW show and ask him why he wasn't at the FSW show. I mean, I knew he was doing the Bachelorette, but I didn't know why he wasn't there. It's because he had taken a flight to LA that night because they were going to start filming the very next day. So basically, people, the longer you see Kenny King off of social media, off of Twitter, the better he's doing on the show.
What do you think comes out of this for Kenny King? Win or lose?
That's a good question. I don't know that this necessarily progresses his wrestling career. He's been in, you know, several reality TV shows before. From there was an MTV show called Baggage. There was obviously Tough Enough. There was a couple of Vegas locally based reality shows. I guess the only thing I can say is that any publicity is good publicity.
He's in Legends House.
He was in Legends House, however, and it's so funny that WWE didn't pick up on the fact that the Chippendale guy that was teaching Pat Patterson and Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Roddy Piper, God rest his soul, to dance like a Chippendale was an actual TNA Impact Wrestling star. Like, I can't believe they did not pick up on that. But I do remember he was on Legends House. I do believe that NXT is in Kenny's future. I think he's at the age now to where it needs to happen now or it's not going to happen.
Depending on how far he goes, because I actually read a little bit about this, it's actually a black Bachelorette. So he'll make it pretty far as a black one. That's going to give his chances high. If he makes it pretty far, they'll probably bring him back.
Okay, keep in mind, Kenny was a next door neighbor of mine for, say, about 3 years. I don't think that works in his favor, to be honest with you. You know, he's there for a reason, and I think it's there for storyline and drama, as anybody is in the professional wrestling business. So he brings drama to the storyline of The Bachelorette. So I think it ends up coming out that he's a Chippendale, he's a professional wrestler, he's somewhat of a playboy. Kenny, don't hate me for saying this, please. You know, I love you. You know, I'm going to take the coronation next time he sees me. But I think he's there for storyline purposes. I think he makes it midway through the show, and then he's back onto the Ring of Honor circuit before I do believe he is next, minus the E in that statement. I do believe he will get a run in NXT.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into our picks and our odds for this WrestleMania. So if you want to bet your friends on some crazy odds, we're going to give you the inside information on odds being booked. So I'm being born and raised in Vegas. And Mike over here, you know, an avid gambler at the tables. So he knows a little bit about in and outs of odds. So we're going to go by what we think the card is going to be, not necessarily what it will be. We don't know.
And not to mention that me and him have differing opinions on the way the card's going to be laid out. And I'm going to preface this by saying at the end of this, we will get into the segment portion of WrestleMania. What I mean by segment portion of WrestleMania, there's always, you know, like last year, there was the Shawn Michaels, Mick Foley, Stone Cold segment. You know, there's always the Hall of Fame segment during the main pay-per-view. This year, I'm going to make a bold prediction about the New Day segment as them being hosts. But we're going to save that to the end. We're basically going to go match for match. And then we're going to hold some prop bets and some some segment enticers at the end.
All right.
Okay. So we're going to start here. And this is where Tony's going to disagree with me. The pre-show. Basically the bastard stepchild of WrestleMania. This is where you know you really don't mean a whole hell of a lot to the company because you're on the WWE Network pre-show. And actually this year it's actually going to be on the USA Network as well.
Oh,
which means the talent's not going to be even making as big a payday off of it as they would be to begin with. But I'm picking the Cruiserweight title to be defended on the pre-show.
No, but...
I know you disagree.
And you're already starting off what I believe will be the best match of the night, no matter what.
Athleticism-wise, won't disagree with you. The fact that it's not going to be on the main card, and I truly believe it will not be on the main card, is going to hinder it from doing that. But let's go with the Cruiserweight Championship match. We got Neville, and I will continue to call him Adrian Neville, because that's when he had his most popularity, was with NXT. Against a guy that really is one of the most underrated wrestlers of the last 6 years. I really believe this. And that's Austin Aries.
How's he underrated? He won the TNA title.
Okay, and that and a cup of coffee is $1.50.
He was rated pretty good.
TNA is, they're trying to sue the Hardys from using the gimmick that the Hardys came up with. They're grasping at straws. It's an overrated organization. If Austin Aries gave a damn about TNA or an Impact Wrestling, he'd still be there. He's doing the best he can with what he's got right now. And that's being in the Cruiserweight division. It's not NXT. It's not the main roster. It's kind of an in-between, but you're featured on a TV show at least twice a week, depending on where you're at. And they've been building up to his kind of debut on this for a couple of weeks, having him come in and do commentary. Now, I got to be honest with you. I thought he was phenomenal.
Well, he was very
on commentary.
He carried that banana in his pocket.
That was funny. That was entertaining. And then I don't know if it was injury related. They just wanted to build up to his debut, but I thought it was very well done. That being said, it's still the Cruiserweight division.
What do we got as the odds on this match?
It's a pick 'em. It's 5-6 all around. It literally, you can flip a coin right now. I can't believe the odds are this close. I think, honestly, the betting site in the UK is trying to hedge some bets on this. I think Austin Aries clearly walks away with the title.
Okay. 5-6 means you have to bet $6 to win $5.
And it goes both ways. Both guys are odds. So same odds.
So this is a pick a match. Either way you go, you're gonna win. You're either gonna lose or you're gonna win. So yeah, they can't decide what they're gonna do here in this match. So we're gonna get a little bit of side betting in this action. Both of them have predominant finishing maneuvers and submission holds. You say Austin Aries is gonna win by which one?
I don't think it's gonna be his finisher. I think he's going to hit his finisher, and there's going to be a kick out, and then I think it's going to be some type of sleight of hand, roll up, something.
So just by pin?
Just by pin. He's absolutely going to win it by pin.
All right. No reason to take the belt off Neville, but Austin Aries is hot right now. They're both hot right now. That's why this is an even matchup. Just for argument's
sake. Keep in mind that Neville walks out with a fucking cape. I can't root for a guy that wears a cape. Looks like Mighty Mouse when he walks through the curtain. So we're going to go with Austin Aries.
Okay, then I'm definitely now going to take Adrian Neville with the cold red. No, the red arrow.
The red arrow. Okay, that's where you're going. Okay, now I got another prop bet here because this is the first time since 2008 that WrestleMania has been in Orlando at Citrus Bowl or Camping World Stadium or whatever the hell it's called now.
Yeah.
Start of the pay-per-view is always pyro.
Right.
Anybody get killed this year during pyro? Because if you remember the big WWE lawsuit in 2008 with the finishing pyro of The Undertaker, it fell off the cord and burnt almost 3 people to death in the crowd. I'm not trying to make a joke about this, but do you think they've taken some better precautions this year, hopefully, in the safety of the crowd?
You never know with pyro which way it goes, even though you try to control it. It's going to be windy outside, blow away. I think they take a lot more better precautions this year.
Okay. Just throwing a stupid prop bet out there. So we're going to go to the start of the pay-per-view. You get your pyro. You got Michael Cole and the rest of the ass clowns leading you in. And, you know, I initially had the SmackDown Women's Championship opening this paper.
Right.
I believe it's the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Which is a good match. Who won it last year? Who did we have last year?
Baron Corbin.
Oh, yeah, Baron Corbin.
Another guy that I don't want to call him similar to Roman Reigns, but has been pushed beyond his talent or his draw capability. But let's assume that they go with the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Okay.
To me, this is, we don't need to have a more than 30-second conversation about this. I know you like Opie Taylor to win this. I mean, Sami Zayn. I think it's Braun Strowman all the way. I think they're going to throw Big Show a bit of a bone and have him in there as the final two with his match getting canceled with Shaquille O'Neal because Shaquille could not, from what I understand, could not get in shape in time for this match to make this happen.
Yeah, and we went over this one a little bit earlier, but if you're picking Braun Strowman, which the odds are very good, I wouldn't take him to win because the odds are good, you know, just because he's a favorite doesn't mean good odds to be betting on. Because you want to win money. You won't win if you bet Strowman. I would take the feel the rest of the people in the match, and if I had to pick a person, I'm picking Sami Zayn. Just for the fact that it would make him, he's been beat all year. He hasn't got a bone all year. This could be his bone. It makes Braun Strowman come after him for winning this Andre the Giant battle.
You know, when you sat down, I saw the Sami Zayn music playing in your head. And, you know, we've talked about this, God, a million times. And it's just unfathomable to me that you continue to push a guy that has zero charisma, zero interest, entrance. I'll give him a little bit on his wrestling ability. I like him better as El Generico. To be honest with you, I wish they'd brought that gimmick to WWE. I could have got behind him. I don't think Sami Zayn is, with five people left in the match, I don't think he's there. Keep in mind, we don't even know that there could be two possible pre-show matches.
Yeah.
Him and Samoa Joe could actually, this is how bad I think of the Cruiserweights. Cruiserweights could be the first match on the pre-show.
Yeah.
Sami and Samoa could actually close the pre-show.
Yeah.
It's possible. Because they have not been confirmed for that match.
Right.
You know, you need to be the head of his fan club is all I can tell you. You know, I there's nothing else. Braun Strowman goes over here. He's been pushed heavily in the last 6 months with destroying everybody, getting his match with Roman Reigns. Roman, obviously, because Roman is being forced down our throats like Cena was in 2003, yeah. 2004. And I think they're kind of going the same way with Roman, but I just think that they're going to throw Braun a big bone here and have him go over in this matchup. That's just my opinion. God bless Sami Zayn.
On some betting sites I've seen, these are all UK betting sites, which is odd in one way. I've seen that Ronda Rousey is 50-1 to win the Battle Royal.
And if you forced me to take a bet right now, I'd put my money on Ronda before I put it on Sami.
50-1, that's a sweet payday right there.
I mean, if you can find a link to this site, I'll put it on Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan right now. The Rock has 30-1 odds.
So before Sami Zayn ever.
You bet $1, you win 30 odds. So if you want to take a chance, I don't know what the minimum amount of bet you can purchase a bet for. $2 is usually what it is on any other betting place. That's where you will make your money.
All right, well. Just so we don't extend this past 3 hours, because I can spend 3 hours on Sami Zayn. Let's move on to what I honestly think will be the first title match of the pay-per-view, and I believe that's going to be the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Yeah.
Because I believe this is going to incorporate a couple things. A, the first title defense, and the first part of the surprise appearances that always comes with WrestleMania.
So we have Becky Lynch versus The Field.
The Field. And nobody has determined what The Field is yet. Yeah. I mean, they say the SmackDown roster, but that doesn't really mean anything anymore.
It's really vague. Yeah.
Very vague.
I will say this. I believe Alexa Bliss retains.
Against the people she is supposed to be taking on right now, Becky Lynch,
Oh, you got Mickey James.
Mickey James.
Natalya, I believe, is in that roster, yeah. Right? Natalya never wins, so we can throw her to the side.
Carmella.
I do believe Carmella will, within the next 6 months, be SmackDown Women's Champion. I don't think this is her time.
Yeah.
So there's not enough buildup. Now, the unknown is Naomi, of course. Yeah.
She's not on the... You can't bet on Naomi.
So if it's not on the board, we can't really talk about it. But I'm... That being said, I'm going to bring up some people that you can't talk about yet, but have been rumored to be part of the show, and I really hope they are, and that'd be Victoria. The way she left WWE was really, really weird. She then went on to TNA Impact, and then our favorite wrestling promotion, PPW.
Yep, she's there.
Talking about an indie promotion drawing 300 people, and their best day they drew 150. Molly Holly, I think, is obviously in that conversation. Undertaker's in the building, so I think you got to put Michelle McCool in the conversation.
I'll take on the odds that you won't even see Michelle. You won't even see her in the crowd.
Well,
she never.
Maybe this is my Sami Zayn, but I believe she's going to be there. I believe she makes an appearance.
She'll be there purchasing popcorn. She's not going to be there.
If you're the wife of The Undertaker, you're not purchasing popcorn. Sami Zayn's selling it to you, but you're not purchasing it. All right? So I don't believe.
She's gathering popcorn.
She's gathering popcorn. Okay. I think this is going to be an interesting match from the standpoint of the surprise entrance.
Yeah. With no surprises, you have to take Alexa Bliss.
No, I think she absolutely retains. There's no upside to taking the title off of her at all. I hope they do better with the surprises in this match than they did during the Royal Rumble. That was a big letdown.
Yeah.
Huge letdown. Who was the surprise? The guy with the umbrella?
In the Royal Rumble, yes.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the best you can do, book it differently in a stadium of 70,000.
Yeah, and then being with this is being recorded a week out, so you still have... The odds can change.
Depending on, as we know from WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, odds can change. So keep your odds, make sure you know what your odds are before you bet. And if you bet, the quicker you bet, usually the better the odds you get as the show wears down.
Keep in mind, also, people, that when you bet on a WrestleMania or any wrestling match, this is a predetermined outcome. So you're not getting, you don't lock in odds when you make a bet. Like, if Roman Reigns is a 6-1 favorite, if it changes an hour before the match, your bet now changes to that as well.
Yeah, I've seen that on certain sites. You got to watch what site you go on, because they will
flip it in a heartbeat.
But if you're betting your friends with the odds, you'll be all right.
Literally, and I'll just tell our story, and what was it, 2014? Yeah, that was New Orleans, right?
Yeah, that's where he lost.
We're setting in Sam's Town, getting ready for the pay-per-view, and The Undertaker was the odds-on favorite, I mean, hugely odds-on favorite, to win the match against Brock Lesnar, literally 25 minutes before the match. And how they found the match lineup and what match was coming, I have no idea. Somebody's leaking information. The odds pretty much flipped verbatim.
Yeah.
I mean, it went from... Take the odds off Lesnar and put him on Taker. Take the Taker line and put him I don't think that's going to happen. And we sat there in Sam's Town with, about 700 people? And you could have heard a pin drop in that.
Yes. So
it can happen that quick. So understand your odds on your betting site.
Yeah. They will be able to change them when they want to change them.
So let's go to what I think will be the next match. Because I do believe they're going to get a lot of these, what I call jumble matches, out of the way.
Yeah.
Going to the Raw Tag Team Championship. Odds on favorite? Gallows and Anderson? Being 8-11, or 11-8, however you want to read that. I believe Enzo and Cass come out of this for the titles.
This is a scenario where you don't pick Cesaro, Sheamus.
No,
that pick is gone.
Absolutely. Because there's no longevity in that group.
Okay. So that pick is out of play. So you have to take this as your pick, one of these two teams. You got the upset, you want a little bit more money. You try to take Gallows and Anderson. I don't know. This, to me...
Can I give you my standpoint on this?
Yeah.
I believe Big Cass is a huge part of the future of WWE. Yes. And I'm talking on a singles career. And I think the only way you legitimize him, even if you bring Enzo into the mix, is at some point he's got to hold a title. Okay. And I think you legitimize him here as winning the title at WrestleMania 33, be it a tag title, I think this is where you start to build the Big Cass storyline.
Okay, since we both, I'm going to take the chance to retain. But I wouldn't bet on it because the odds aren't good for that one. But we know Sheamus and Cesaro are losing no matter what. Who's taking the pin? That's where you can bet your odds. That's your side bet. Who leads the pin?
Okay, this would be my point. I'll stick with Enzo and Cass winning. Cass is going to get the pin.
Yeah.
But I think he pins. You know, my God, how many more angles can they bury Cesaro in? I mean, you can't. So I think Cass pins Sheamus.
Can't pin Sheamus. You're not pinning Sheamus.
Because he's Triple H's boy?
Yep. Cesaro's eating his pin. And I'll take that bet all day. Either way, I'll take Gallows.
You know,
I take Gallows pinning Cesaro.
We'll see. I'll stick with my prediction.
Yeah.
Of Cass getting the pin. I'm going to predict the upset. I'm going to predict Sheamus taking the pin.
Okay.
I mean, if Sheamus were Triple H's boy anymore, as they say he is, Sheamus wouldn't be in this quality of a match at WrestleMania. So I'm going to take that luster off the trophy, and I'm going to take Big Cass pinning Sheamus.
Okay.
Because here's my point. Both of them, what's one of their finishing moves? Boot to the head, right?
Yeah.
I think that's how this thing ends, with kind of a double one, but, like, you know, Cass's leg being a little bit longer, catching him in the chin. I think that's how the
thing ends. I think if Cass and Enzo win, Enzo's getting the pin. That boom shakalaka, and Cass is locking everyone out of the way because Enzo can't block them from interfering.
That'd be a weak finish to it, and I'm a big Enzo and Cass, or Enzo and, yeah, Cass fan. I don't want to see the match end that way.
Shakalaka. That's it.
All right. So we're almost in agreement on that one.
Yeah.
All right. So now, here's the one that I took notes going into this, just because I'm a nerdy guy like that, I guess. The Intercontinental Championship. Dean Ambrose versus Baron Corbin. Corbin's a guy that I find in the same situation as Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
It's a guy they want to push. His problem is he has nothing special about him that Roman has. Nothing at all. No heritage. You can't live on the heritage of it. He was a screw-up as a football player. Did you see the picture that came out of him as the Arizona Cardinal this week?
No.
Oh, my God. He spent most of his time at Pizza Hut, I'm guessing. Like, he had to go to WWE to probably save his life from cholesterol. It was just unbelievable. There's absolutely nothing marketable about this guy, but however, they seem to want to push him.
So, what do we got on the odds? What are you betting on?
This one I did not see online. This is another one of those ones that I'm going to guess is a pick'em.
This is a close one.
I think Ambrose retains. And WWE has this funny way of doing pay-per-views where they build a marquee matchup, and the very next night on TV, the same damn match happens, and then they do the title change. And I'll never understand why they do
this. This is a SmackDown.
So I hope the follow-up show we do to this, we don't do until after both live TV shows, because we all know the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania is probably the best show of the year, by far. This year, I think you can probably put SmackDown in that same category because you're going to have to split NXT talent along with some other rematches and stuff. This is one of these matches that would literally piss my father off, because this is why he doesn't buy WWE pay-per-views or the network. Why in the hell would I pay to watch Dean Ambrose versus Baron Corbin when I can just tune in tomorrow and watch it again?
Yeah.
And I believe this is one of those matches. I think there's no need to take the belt off Ambrose in this.
Yeah, this one I wouldn't touch either. Storyline-wise,
the lead-up made no sense.
Yeah, it's a forklift match.
It's throwing Ambrose a bone. Hey, you were the champ in the last year. Gonna give you a WrestleMania payday. Gonna throw a bone to Corbin too, put him on the main roster, or the main show. It's a throwaway match, is what it is. Honestly, and for everybody, it's because a couple people in the room with us right now that used to, or still do, go to Sam's Town with us to watch pay-per-views. The Divas match used to be our bathroom break. Like, oh, sweet, Natalya's music hit. We can go take a piss and get some popcorn and get another beer. This actually might be that match this year.
Okay, the odds are 1-4, Baron Corbin, and 5-2 for Dean Ambrose.
So it's a pick'em. It's pretty much a pick'em.
Those are bad odds.
It's one of those things, if you're betting a parlay on Football Sunday, this is a game you don't touch.
This is a game you don't touch, yeah. So if you're betting someone, you go off what you think, but don't go with the odds in this particular match.
Yeah, this is a throwaway match. There's been very little lead up to it. I don't even like it. I don't think it's going to be a good match. And it sucks for Dean, because Dean's a hell of a competitor performer, and he's going to have two shitty matches 2 years in a row. Last year with Brock Lesnar, which was kind of the worst storyline ever. And then they back him up another year after that great win that we were at Money in the Bank with Baron freaking Corbin. Great name, by the way. So, throwaway match, in my opinion.
Okay, what do you got next?
Here's the, and I swear to God, I wish we could do a whole podcast on this fucking match right here. John Cena, Nikki Bella.
All right.
Let
me get a bathroom break.
We may have to take a bathroom break from our own podcast right now, because this is, and I'm gonna steal a term from Stone Cold Steve Austin right now. And I think this match will be the drizzly shits. Him and Bella versus Miz and Maryse.
Miz and Maryse are hot right now.
But it's Cena. It doesn't matter. Like, if Cena actually asked Vince McMahon if he could run to the ring and stab somebody in the heart, I think Vince would go, "I'll get back to you on it." He wouldn't immediately say no.
And we got the odds on this one. It is 4-11 for Cena and Bella, and 7-4 for Mike and Maryse. So,
But here's the bigger angle on this: is not even the damn match. It's what's supposed to happen.
Okay.
After the match.
And
that is John Cena cutting his nuts. I mean, proposing to Nikki Bella.
You bet. You know, for me, you take your money, you put it on Miz and Maryse.
You think that's a smart bet?
That's a smart bet. You can't have it all. Miz and Maryse are really hot right now. Once the Miz beats or Nikki Bella loses, she's going to be upset. What will make her happy?
Him proposing.
Him proposing.
So what you're saying is, because everybody knows Cena's taken a hiatus after this to film. What is that junk show he's doing again? True Grit, something. True Shit, what?
Okay.
He's doing another reality TV show, and you know, this is the same guy that in 2011 came out and shamed The Rock for going out and doing outside projects, and now that's all he's doing. I've been telling people, and I hope that God just gets to John Cena in some form or fashion. He's the biggest piece of shit in the wrestling business today. I know he does all the Make-A-Wish Foundation stuff, and God bless him for that.
Yeah.
But I listened to a podcast the other night that a guy by the name of Ryan Reeves did, went by the ring name of Ryback.
His name is Ryback.
Well, it is now, because Ryback. The only way you can fucking trademark it, and I get it. But Ryback told a very telling story about Cena. You know, they do this anti-bullying campaign in WWE. And they go to schools and they speak and, you know, talk about, you know, don't bully this person, don't bully this person. And they were actually, and I think Ryback said that they were in, wasn't Boston, but it was just outside of Boston in, like, Worcester, Massachusetts or something like that. And this guy that worked at the arena was over there with this kid. And Ryback's stretching. Ryback's actually working with Cena that night. And so the guy gets Ryback's attention and says, hey, can you do me a favor? He's really like my son to meet John Cena. And Ryback goes, oh, you know, well, why is that? And he goes, well, my son used to be a bully in, you know, elementary school. He's like a fifth or sixth grader now. And the only thing that stopped him, like us having to come to school all the time and get him out of trouble and whatnot, was John Cena being part of the bullying campaign.
Yeah.
I just would really love it if Cena would, you know, say hi to my son and we could kind of tell our story to him. And he goes, I will absolutely pass the information along. You know, I'll tell him about it. And so, you know, we know the wrestling world's at work. So he, Ryback, immediately Cena comes up and starts stretching right next to Ryback. And he goes, hey, man, you see that guy over there? And so Ryback kind of goes through the story. And Cena goes, oh, so that guy stopped. You know, so he wants to meet me? Yeah, he really, yeah, fuck them. And walked off. John Cena's the biggest piece of shit walking the wrestling earth. I will say it till the day I die. He can do all the make-a-wish he wants to do, and that's great for those kids. I'm glad they're getting to meet their hero, and he's being nice to them. But go out to a live event sometime where there's no cameras on him, and have a kid with cancer or something out there. He don't get two shits about it. So if he loses this match, more the merrier to me. I just know how much of a cocksucker he is, so it's probably not going to happen.
Man.
Cena, I hope you hear part of this.
I'm taking Miz. I'm taking the Miz, and Cena is another bet.
Okay, well, let's move past my hatred towards C-Nation, and we'll go with the prop bet. Well, is it going to happen or not?
He's going to propose, but they're not getting married.
So this is a whole work, a whole gimmick.
Whole gimmick. Because if you propose on TV, you got to get married on TV.
So you're not going to have the Macho Man angle where he gets bit by a cobra in the ring and like, okay. All right, I get it. All right. His whole fucking life's a work anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as long as the little kiddies keep buying the t-shirts and he keeps cashing the checks.
You can't double win. Yeah. You can't win and
propose. Is there a prop bet of an assassination attempt on him? Is there a prop bet? What are the odds? I don't see the odds on that. Where's that?
You still runs in on this match?
Well, I'm not going to be in Orlando, so. All right, yeah. Probably not going to happen.
What are we looking at next?
I don't know. Can we do a side segment on my hatred for Cena? Because I can actually do 45 minutes on this shit. And that's in my sleep. I think we're heading to the United States Championship, I think would be, to me, the next match.
And, the U.S. title. The United States title. You can't call it the U.S. title.
Oh, are we allowed to call it? Oh, we're not allowed to call it a belt. That's what we're not allowed to call it. Okay, it's a title.
Kevin Owens, 4-9 versus Chris Jericho, 13-8.
You know, part of me wants to take Jericho in this.
Take Jericho.
But I know he's leaving. I know he's going to do a Fozzy tour in the summer.
You bet Jericho because of the odds. It's 8. If you're gonna lose, you might lose on this match. But this is the one you take the odds.
Okay, this is one of my NXT run-ins here. Okay, I think Kevin Owens walks out with the title only because Jericho's leaving.
Okay.
But I don't think it's a clean finish.
It's not, I don't know. I'm taking Chris Jericho to win. Kevin Owens wins Monday night. Takes the title Monday night.
So this is one of the matches my dad talks about.
Yep. This Jericho gets a quick win, gets beat up after the match. He's leaving anyway. He makes it Monday night, beat up. They force him to have the match. Triple H forces him to defend his title the next night. And that's when you see the goodbye of Jericho. Jericho ain't leaving at Mania. He's going to leave after Mania. So that's my...
All right. To make this match quick, because this is one of the easier matches to kind of set and predict, I'll switch my pick and go with you. Jericho takes it, retains, possibly loses it the following.
Yeah.
All right, so that's where we're going to stick on that.
Yeah.
All right. Here is the match that I don't really want to spend a ton of time on, but I think it steals the entire show. I think when they start releasing the DVD of WrestleMania, the highlights that they're going to show are going to be this match. AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon. And here's why I say this. And you can look right there, I pinned it, possible match of the night. People underestimate Shane's workability in the ring. Was The Undertaker, Shane McMahon, not the match of the year last year? Or I won't say match of the year, the match of WrestleMania last year.
No. One move onto a cushion. No.
All right, ask you this, what the match of Mania was, and if you say anything that involves Sami Zayn, walking out on the podcast right now, what was the match of WrestleMania last year?
Can't even think of his Sami Zayn had a match. Which match he had? Which match was it? I know the Chris Jericho JJ Styles match.
Okay, so you're half proving my point. If that's what you think was the match of the year last year.
No, not the match. I'm trying to think
of the match of Mania. Was him and Jericho.
That was a good match. I'm trying to think of what
good
match that
match.
Blanket on which matches were happening last year.
Definitely not Roman Reigns, Triple H.
That was long. That was boring. It just the Undertaker match only had one spot.
Two spots. Spear through the cage, off the cage.
Oh, it's not the other spot. But then he jumped on a blanket.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will pay money to have Tony climb a cage and jump on that same blanket.
It had a cushion.
Okay. Still 15 feet, 16 feet up.
It's like jumping in a pool. I'm good.
Bottom line, AJ Styles gets the win here.
Oh, AJ Styles, definitely.
There's no upside to Shane winning.
You bet AJ Styles. You take the money. 3 to 10.
The odds are huge in his favor.
Yeah, 3 to 10, though.
But I think he actually moves to Raw after this.
Yeah, the odds are bad in this.
So I think they want to bring the club back together.
Shane has the best underdog odds. 11 to 5. So you bet $5. You win.
Here, I'm going to move on to the next match. Here's my upset pick of the entire night, the Raw Women's Championship.
Alright, well, what we got?
We now have 4 people involved.
Yeah.
You got Bayley, who is a champion.
3 to 1. Or 1 to 3.
Great Snickers commercial, by the way, Bayley. You got Charlotte.
7 to 2.
Sasha Banks, the boss.
Oh, Sasha Banks is 7 to 2.
And Snoop Dogg's cousin. Can only have him sing your entrance 1 year at a time, bro.
She is 1 to 8. Well, 8 to 1.
Then you got the wild card in this whole thing, Nia Jax.
Yeah, Nia Jax is 8 to 1.
My prediction is Nia Jax walks through the title.
That's a big odds. $1 to $8. They did not like Bayley. Bayley's been losing. Bayley's losing that title.
She is absolutely not walking out with the title.
She's getting pinned.
She could possibly take the pin. I'm not going to debate you on that one because I can see that. I believe this match leads to 2 or 3 new programs. I believe Nia Jax walking the title leading to a program with Charlotte. And then Bayley and Sasha have their confrontation or their falling out, if you will, during this match that will eventually lead to their match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, not bad. I think I would take Nia Jax for storyline purposes, and the odds are just...
Keep in mind her bloodline.
That don't mean nothing, because there's a lot of people...
It doesn't mean anything?
No.
They're still selling Roman Reigns shirts and shoving him down our throat, so don't tell me the bloodline.
Who was that guy that part of the legacy? Manu. What happened to Manu?
Wait, didn't he catch Shawn Michaels out of the ring during that WrestleMania? Maybe when the cameraman that caught Shawn Michaels?
Yeah, my new didn't go nowhere.
I'm picking the upset here. I'm going Nia Jax. Fish, who you taking?
Nia Jax is the better story. Bayley's not winning.
No, that's not happening.
Charlotte's
too obvious of a choice.
You gotta go with Sasha Banks.
You're gonna take the boss.
Taking the boss lady.
All right. Moving on. Here's the most unpredictable match of the night.
Yep. This is another
one. This is the one, honestly, I mean, it literally, from an odd standpoint, this is another one you don't touch.
You don't touch this one.
Seth Rollins versus Triple H.
If it's on.
I think it's been a work up to this point that it was on, wasn't on. I mean, I don't doubt that Seth got hurt during that whole Samoa Joe angle, but I don't think it was ever in doubt that he was going to wrestle this match. I think the bigger part of what we're talking about here is, how does this match end?
We got Seth with 1-3 odds and Triple H with 2-1
odds.
Man, that is a dollar. You bet a dollar, you win it all.
I'm going to take Triple H.
Mm.
But I'm not going to take it clean. I think this is where we see an NXT debut. Most of them happen on the following night. This is where you might see any, like, Triple H likes to surround himself with people that are like him,
yeah,
character-wise. The closest guy to that is Bobby Roode.
Right.
This might be where you see Bobby Roode.
Okay. Not a bad one. If there is a run-in, I'm not taking Bobby Roode. You want to put the run-in on, we're going with the revival.
Not a bad suggestion either.
Revival.
I just don't. I will blatantly take Triple H.
Yeah.
I am taking Triple H.
Don't.
Obviously not going to be a clean win.
Yeah, don't bet this. This one's too close. But I'll take Triple H. No reason not to. This makes the feud continue. Once he beats Triple H, even though Triple H likes to drag out feud.
Yeah, the big payoff at like SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's you know, it is what it is.
And this is gonna be a, this is not gonna be a good match. Another brawl.
Yeah.
Same as the Shane and AJ match. Just a brawl. At least Shane is going to do some crazy shit. This would be better.
Right,
that match would be better.
Right. Next match, and you're going to be surprised at my pick on this one. Although I think before we started this podcast, we kind of talked about this one. I'm going to be honest with you, and I need a minute to explain myself on this. The worst told WWE World Championship storyline from Rumble to Mania ever told. Nothing from the beginning to the end of this made any sense if you're trying to make believability out of storyline. So you mean to tell me Randy Orton goes on to win the Royal Rumble, and he's sitting there with fireworks going off around him, and my God, I won the Rumble. 2 weeks later on TV, he professes that he'll never wrestle Bray Wyatt as long as Bray is the master. Follow up, 2 weeks later, he burns the house down of Sister Abigail, supposedly, in this big plot to then have to wrestle AJ Styles to re-earn his number one contendership. It's the worst old storyline that WWE ever had leading into a WrestleMania.
And these are 2-7 for Orton, 9-4
Bray.
Damn, that's.
I'm taking Bray Wyatt in this.
So you're picking the underdog.
It's not even just the underdog. If you have Orton win this match, Bray's entire career goes to shit.
Yeah.
There was no reason for him to be champion if you don't. Because the storyline leading up to it was horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. So you mean to tell me the apex predator, okay, the second coming of the cerebral assassin, if you will, is so smart that he gives up his chance, which was an automatic chance at the championship, to only have to wrestle AJ Styles to earn it back after he burns the house down? I'm going to assume Vince was worried about stock price for a couple of days. Hunter got the book and came up with this garbage of a storyline. I think they now need to recover by having Bray win this match.
I'll take Bray. You know, I will actually double down on Bray. This is where you put your money. This is your money match. Bray is too
high. I will not disagree with you.
Bray is too high.
And the thing is, do I believe there will be a run-in by some form or fashion of the Wyatt family, whether it be Luke Harper or Eric Rowan or both? That could absolutely happen, but I believe the pen is clean. I believe he hits him with Sister Abigail at some point. 1, 2, 3. And hell, you may even see Sister Abigail in this. That might be where they redeem themselves in this fucked up storyline that they burn her house down. You may see an actual talent come up, and I'll tell you who I'd put in that place. Whatever the girl's name was that played Blue Pants, is who I'd put in that spot.
Oh my God, but, you're talking about Blue Pants.
I'm bringing it. Hey, she got a huge pop at Brooklyn a couple of years ago.
You don't know my dislike of Blue Pants.
Well,
the world's ugliest shirt. Her name is Blue Pants.
Well, maybe her and Sami Zayn can meet on Tinder.
This girl is garbage. She can make it. Well, she's with TNA. It's Leva Bates.
I'm just saying it's possible you could see some type of format. I'm just saying Bray gets the pen clean. It's going to be a screw job at the end, but the pin comes
clean. Blue Pants is my trigger word. That is the most hideous shirt. Someone made fun of me because I go, man, Blue Pants is the most hideous shirt I've ever seen. Just a shirt with Blue Pants on it. And I talked how bad it was. He goes, what about your shirt? From Blue Chat. The podcast chat's all about Blue Chat. I go, guess what? I give up my shirts out for free, so I ain't charging no one $30 to wear an ugly shirt.
Ugly shirt. I'm giving it away. If it's ugly, at least I gave it to you.
Yeah, gave it to you. So there you go now. Blue Pants, Blue Pants sucks the
most. On to the next match, and this is one. This is a tough one. I mean, not really from a standpoint of who's going to win or lose. We could spend a whole podcast on this match alone, and that's Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker. I think me and you both agree Reigns comes out the winner here.
Reigns.
Because here, as if you're a writing team in WWE, you have to factor in a couple of things. Where does The Undertaker benefit from a victory here? Because his hip is so bad, they're not even sure he's going to be able to come back next year. So the only benefit, the only benefactor to a victory is Roman Reigns.
And oddly enough, Roman Reigns
is the odds-on favorite. What, 8 to 13, I think, is what the odds are.
That's for the Taker.
Was he 6 to 5 or something like that?
4 to 9.
Okay.
I mean, different sites have different odds, but
right.
So yeah, he's the favorite to win.
But here's my thing, like. With this match, Undertaker losing isn't that big of a deal to me. If he was undefeated going into this match, then it's a huge deal. Yeah. He's not undefeated anymore, so like anything can happen. It's not so much that Roman Reigns wins. It's how does he win, and what is the plan for him going forward?
You can't beat the Undertaker. You can reform the Shield. You can bring out the Usos who don't have a match.
We'll get to that in a little bit. Leave the Usos out of this right now, please. You're not selling the show, Fish. You're giving away the product before we can sell it. Don't do it. Because I think the biggest surprise of the night comes with the Usos.
Okay.
But Roman Reigns obviously wins.
Hands down.
I don't want to see a clean spear, Superman punch, 1-2. If that happens, they're going to boo him worse.
Yeah.
I think this is where you set the seed for a heel turn.
Yeah. I mean, this is a good storyline going in for Roman Reigns to lose, to win. If he loses, so what? Lost to the energy. Everyone has. If you're pushing Roman, like they are, with Roman is becoming one of my favorite wrestlers just because Aaron loses a shit. That you take him.
He's becoming John Cena in reverse.
Yeah. And you even though the odds aren't in your favor in this match, you still put these odds down.
You still put the money on Taker?
No. You put it on Roman. Put your money on Roman. You might lose because he's a favorite, but
this is what I would hope to see out of this match, aside from a Roman Reigns victory, is some form of where they plan to go with him as a character.
Right.
Like, if he cheats, a low shot, hell, even a Dean Ambrose run-in. It's something silly. If you get some form of where they're going with this, it'd be more than they've given us with Roman Reigns in the last year and a half.
Yeah, so, we're in agreement. Take Roman. Side bet, if there's any interference of any sort.
He's going to be a Shield member.
Clean win. Seth Rollins is going to get hurt in his match. He's not coming out. Dean is unpredictable, so he'll...
And they've been talking about moving Roman to the SmackDown side, so this could lead to that. I don't know. I don't think this whole match comes down to who wins. It's just how.
Yes.
It's a storyline factor issue.
Right.
Final match of the night. And this is, I don't even think we need to really discuss who wins this match. Like, I literally will do a backflip out of my chair if Goldberg wins this match. I just, give me a scenario where this happens.
I think Goldberg's not winning.
Goldberg's not winning. You said it the same way. Here's the two factors, and it's you can look at my notes. This is exactly what I wrote. Lesnar wins, no doubt. What will the finish be? What will the length of the match be?
All right, we got Lesnar, who's 1-14 odds of winning, and Goldberg is 11-2. So
Here's my thing.
Lesnar is 100% favorite.
Yeah.
Cheeky bet $14 and win $1.
Here's all I will say, ladies and gentlemen. This will be a one, maybe re-update your odds 45 minutes before the match.
Yeah.
It's not beyond WWE to offer Goldberg a bunch of money through SummerSlam and then swerve you. If the swerve is going to come at WWE, it's going to come in this match.
Yeah,
I don't think it will happen. I think the finish will be a quick one. And here's the thing with WrestleMania, as we found out last year. Like, we're sitting there looking at our watches going, the Reigns music hasn't even hit yet, and we got 3 minutes left before 4 hours, and it went almost 5 hours last year. And that'd be another great prop bet I hope they put online. What's the over-under on 5 hours this year?
What do you take?
I'll take the under, but barely. Ooh. Barely. I think this match doesn't go long. They have made Goldberg's son such a predominant part of his coming back. That I think something silly where Heyman grabs his son at ringside, distracts him, Lesnar hits him with a series of suplexes in the F5, and it's kind of a fast finish as Survivor Series was in the other way.
Yeah.
I could see something of that.
Yeah.
I do not see this being a 30-minute technical wrestling match.
Yeah, I think this match is going 5 minutes. You want to go over under on 5? You want to take that?
No, because if 5 minutes, 30 seconds, I only lose money on that. So,
okay.
I mean, because I agree with you. I don't think it goes long. I think the entrances, there'd be a great prop bet. What's last longer, the entrances or the match?
Just a long walk. Maybe take entrances.
Yeah, I would take the entrances right now because I don't think this match lasts long. I think it's an opposite of what we saw at Survivor Series. I mean, there's no way Brock Lesnar agrees to do the jobs that he did for Goldberg leading into this match if it isn't something similar to where he gets his comeback, if you will. So that's my take on it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see a run-in in this. I don't see...
No, just clean.
Only interference I would see would be involving Paul Heyman,
where
he somehow involves his son. And it's a distraction. Boom. Lesnar hits him with Suplex City. Four of them. F5. 1, 2, 3. And thank God we finally lay Goldberg to rest.
Yeah. So,
I mean, the guy in the last 12 years has had a cumulative wrestling matches of about 13 minutes.
But that's our WrestleMania card there. You know, bet wisely. Not to bet on every match. You don't need to bet on anything, but this might give you more perspective on which matches you should take and not take. But we got some more surprises coming.
Some extras here. Now, I'm going to take this one because this is something me and you talked about last night. And you laughed at me like hell because you was like, I don't see this happen. Everybody knows the New Day is hosting WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Now, the other wild card factor in this year's WrestleMania is Kurt Angle. Now, I mean, obviously he's going to be brought up on stage for the Hall of Fame and induction people, and I think it's going to be a really cool segment, especially this year.
Right,
I cannot wait to hear Jim Cornette's, and that's the elephant in the room that maybe we should talk about, is Jim Cornette's speech. But it occurred to me last night that the New Day's biggest piece of merchandise is a cereal called Bootios. Am I right?
Oh my gosh! Here we go.
Now we talked about this, and you disagree with me.
Right.
It also occurred to me there was a guy that drove a milk truck to the ring during a segment back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Isn't this maybe a good coincidence where we could bring these two together? We could have Kurt Angle on the show of shows with the host of WrestleMania. No. You really don't think there's any way this happens?
No. He's going to be, if he gets doused with milk, he has to come out for his...
I think this would happen before.
Yeah, so
I think this would absolutely happen.
So he'll be on stage with milked out?
No, this has happened in the past where people that were part of that Hall of Fame ceremony came out and were part of a segment, got messed up, and then they came out looking like new money in a tuxedo. Vegas, no jokes on the pig masks last night, Bellagio. Another story. I just believe this happens. I really believe this happens.
I'm betting against him.
Now, here's one we believe that will happen. Funny thing last week on SmackDown, out of the blue, the Usos, who have been irrelevant to say the least, relegated to house shows to look like Samoan gangsters, I guess is a better way to put their character.
Yeah, not wrong. It's good.
Out of the blue, they win the tag team titles in SmackDown.
Yeah.
Not booked for a single match at WrestleMania.
Which is good.
2 days ago, the merchandise websites for both Matt and Jeff Hardy go offline. You can't even get a URL to come up with them anymore.
Yeah.
Now, Dave Meltzer.
Tuna Meltzer.
Yeah, Tuna. Reported this is absolutely a sign they have signed with WWE.
No, which is good.
Now, they still hold the Ring of Honor tag team titles. Okay. However, there is a show, 2 days before?
April 1st.
The day before WrestleMania.
Yeah, April 1st. Super Carter Honor.
They could drop the tag titles at night.
In a ladder match. Versus the Young Bucks in a ladder match.
So
it's not a lot of wars, which
here is actually something me and Fish will agree on. I think the big surprise of WrestleMania 33 is going to be Usos at some point are going to come out right about not having a match, do an open challenge, and then you're going to see broken Matt Hardy actually and Brother Nero on WWE television.
Yeah, I'll take that one.
And I'll say this, for anybody that's thinking, well, they're in a lawsuit with TNA Impact or Impact Wrestling or whatever the hell you want to call them, for as long as they're in business, which should be through about December, and the Anthem boys, the Harris brothers, Jerry McDevitt will eat you alive as a lawyer. That's Vince's lawyer. There will absolutely be broken Matt Hardy and Brother Nero at WrestleMania.
Yeah, they get what they want, whatever they want. So it's not an issue. I like that one. I'll take that one over Kurt Angle all night. I'll take that bet. That's not a bad one.
The fact that they shut their merchandise sites down, and Rebby ran both of them, I believe, did she not?
I know she ran match, 100% sure. Okay. Jeff has his own life.
So. Both of them, as of about noon yesterday, went offline.
Yeah.
So if you were looking to buy a broken Matt Hardy shirt or a F That Al or Delete That Al or any of those shirts, you cannot buy them now. It's not even possible to find the link.
Yeah.
I think that is a dead giveaway they're going to be at WrestleMania.
No, they could be there Monday night if they're going on to Monday,
Monday night. Monday night's not a bad decision, but Monday. I think they will be there at WrestleMania, given the Usos' lot in life right now.
But they just went through a match. They're going to go through a match versus the Bucks of Youth.
The Bucks of Youth. Or the Day of Noon.
Or the Uso. The Sultans.
Yeah.
But yeah, is that all you wanted to touch on, or you got any more?
Well, last thing I want to touch on, and, you know, I've been a big proponent of Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, and like I said, you know, Vegas was a hotbed for pro wrestling 2 weeks ago. I think we got to see the best show that of the three nights, and that's FSW. Morrison and Hardy and Eli Drake, who is an unbelievable talent, by the way. So I just want to give kind of an update here. Friday, March 31st at the Silverton Casino, they have a card coming up. Meet and greet starts at 5:30, which I believe the buy-in for the meet and greet is $10. Bell time is 7 p.m. Main event that night is TNA Impact Wrestling superstar Eli Drake versus what we saw at the last FSW show, newly signed Lucha Underground star Kevin Cross for the FSW heavyweight title. First row, front row is $30. Second row is $25. General admission is $20. And yes, meet and greet, I am now reading it now, is $10. You can contact Joe DeFalco on Facebook on the Future Stars of Wrestling Facebook page. You can actually buy tickets directly through them and actually save a little bit of money on the processing fee that you would pay through the Silverton or Sam's Town. And then something that me and Joe talked about on Facebook yesterday, and I think this is really, really cool, is FSW is doing their 8-year anniversary show on, I believe, it is May the 20th. Joe has kind of stepped up. Like I said, these guys are doing way more than what independent wrestling is. And on May 19th, they're actually going to have a Hall of Fame banquet. Now, this is not going to be an FSW Hall of Fame banquet. He's actually being really smart about this and calling it Vegas Wrestling Hall of Fame. So it's basically anybody that had anything to do with Las Vegas, any type of pro wrestling, anybody that added anything to the industry.
Yeah.
And he announced yesterday on Facebook that on May 19th, at this banquet, that the first inductee into the Vegas Wrestling Hall of Fame is going to be AWA wrestling legend Nick Bockwinkel.
Yes.
I'm assuming, haven't talked to Joe technically about this yet, I'm assuming the family of Nick Bockwinkel is going to be there to accept on his behalf. Do not know who is going to be giving the induction speech. I'll be honest with you, if I had my way about it, it would be Kenny King. Only because Nick had helped Kenny so much with, like, promo class and stuff like that. Then on May 20th, they're actually going to hold their 8-year anniversary show, which is always the biggest show of the year for them. And that's kind of hard to say, being that me and Fish just saw at Sam's Town 2 weeks ago. What Joe wanted me to tell you was on April 1st, he's going to release on FSW's Facebook page package deals. So, like, if you want to go to all three things, from the meet and greet to the Hall of Fame ceremony, which, by the way, there's going to be food at the Hall of Fame ceremony now. We're not working on a man budget here, so it's not going to be, like, prime rib and, like, a baked potato, but, I mean, you're going to get food. But if a package deal where if you want to see all three, you can go to the Hall of Fame ceremony, you can go to the meet and greet, you can go to the 8-year anniversary show. You can do that, or if you kind of want to piece it together, he's going to have package deals available on April 1st. And again, that is FSW, Future Stars of Wrestling, on Facebook. Other than that, I encourage everybody out there to go see Vegas Wrestling, any form of independent wrestling here in Las Vegas. It's the best in the country. You're not going to find any better.
I talk highly of Vegas Wrestling. And with my show, What's On Fight, I watch a lot of independent wrestling. And one thing is, in Las Vegas, we don't wrestle in gyms, or we wrestle in a hockey rink.
Nope. Well, it's a good venue, though.
Yeah, it's a good venue. But there's no school. They're not wrestling in school gyms. They're wrestling in they have an FSW arena, which is pretty much an abandoned warehouse. You know, it's a warehouse. Their bigger shows, they move to Sam's Town or mostly to Silverton. So you're at pretty good places. You're not parking at a school. There's none of that.
You're not walking through a bad neighborhood.
There's no basketball hoops in the background. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right. I mean, it's like I said at the beginning of the show, what they do for independent wrestling is, and I'll put it in perspective for any actual fan out there. TNA Impact Wrestling, which, had Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy and Magnus and a bunch of other wrestling stars, they weren't drawing 300 people to house shows. And FSW just drew over 1,100 to a house show out here in Las Vegas, if that tells you anything. Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, the reason being the product is a shit ton better. Yeah. And that's why.
Yeah, this probably had the best independent wrestling venues. Because Freak Show Wrestling wrestles out of a bar, which is not bad. It's still not a school gym. PPW was at Sam's Town.
And they had $3 million behind them, and they couldn't draw 300 people.
We're at P3, by D'Lo Brown, where they wrestle out of the Meineke, at least.
The Garage or Meineke Muffler Shop.
Which is still not
a school. And D'Lo's a friend of mine. Love you, D'Lo. Love you, AC. But you know what it was? You wrestling out of a muffler shop, kid.
Which is still their own venue, not come down to the armory of an Elks Lodge to wrestle. But with that being said, thank Mike for coming on and giving us some odds and some news about future stars of wrestling based spread out here in Las Vegas. And then let the odds be in your favor, right?
Bet wisely, kids.
Uh-huh. I want to thank you all again for listening to this special episode of, I'll be calling it, I think, Odds on WrestleMania. I hope you liked it. And if you want to get into podcasting or talk, have a discussion about anything, you can find me on Twitter. It is FinFishSCU on Twitter. You can send me an email to my Gmail account. It is FinFishSCU@gmail.com. But like I said, give a special shout out to Mike. That was his first ever podcast he's ever done. And, I've been trying to drag him onto the show for years now, and he finally got onto it, and we had a great time. Let's give a shout-out to FSW, Future Stars of Wrestling, right here in Las Vegas. They're actually on the Fight app, and soon we'll be covering them on What's on Fight, which is here on the Trendy Topics Network. What's on Fight is a podcast that watches random wrestling, MMA, boxing, grappling shows on that are provided by the Fight app, and we report it all back to you on What's on Fight. Me and Mr. Forfro. I have another podcast. It is called Lou Chat, the podcast that chats all about Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground has just recently came on to Netflix. You want to know a lot more about Lucha Underground? Hit me up and I will tell you what's going on if you're lost in the storyline. But I do have a podcast called New Chat. We have tons and tons of other great podcasts here on the brand new Trending Topics Network. And we got we have European Uppercut, a podcast that a European perspective of American pro wrestling. We got the Spanish Announce Table, slamming your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge. We got WrestleCast, the podcast that has a serious discussion about the non-serious world of professional wrestling. Wrestling Cheers, a podcast based out of Ohio. So a lot about Ohio wrestling, Ohio Indie Report, was the old name of the podcast. I like the Wrestling Cheers, though. Be going into a non-wrestling world. It's the Hanging with Heavy. We're callers into the All Wrestling Weekend Review. Go for interviews. So you want to know a lot about your callers into the All Wrestling Weekend Review? Check out Hanging with Heavy. If you're into betting and you listen to the show, we have NFL Easy Picks, helping you pick those NFL games, and also CFL Easy Picks as well. And we got Squabble Box, Legends on Siren FM, Eurovision Showcase, the Tux Experience. Want to know about beer? Going all beers inside. We have STFU is Shut the Fuck Up. And so much more. We have special episodes here and there. So you know, subscribe to the Trending Topics Network on your podcast provider, Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes. You'll find them all easy there. But once again, I want to thank Mike. This is his first episode or first podcast ever doing. He was a champ. He did it good. Great. Shout out to FSW. And that looks like it's pretty much it. And all I want to say, let the odds be in your favor. Don't forget, people, the odds may change. Make sure you get the best odds to let you win. Hit your friends with a couple of these prop bets, and you'll be a winner for sure. But with that, adios. The talking all stop. They figured I was done, but like your baby son, the ball just dropped. Waste man, what a great clan, what a flock. Kick through your door, why the fuck should I knock? I understand now why rappers hit it back. I was gone for a second, y'all don't know how to act. Like Ben Affleck, I'm that cat that brings real rap back. Baseball cap flat on my eyebrows. And it's my mic, and it's my crowd. My time, fuck up my town. Underrated, no, or unknown. I'm a 6th round pick, Tom Brady with the palms. Out of Michigan, just like he was. In between the nerds and the wannabe thugs. All the backpackers with the Kanye cuts. Fuck a gay fish, shark time, eat lunch. I was right, your peeps were so wrong. Your team is overhyped, your leader must be LeBron. I'm a different species completely. We deceased these preteens and he-she's. Yup, but that's enough for your eventual death. People wonder if potential is left. Now let me second your guess. All connections like a neck and a chest. With potential like Ovechkin, step in your neck. While I shoot the wrister right over your shoulder. Another winter colder and I'm the really older. Good fella learning from the older. Soldiers, mobsters, when I take over, it's over. I told ya, leave the past for the historians. I already have, I'm gassing the DeLorean. And I'm Kevorkian, assisting you to kill yourself. Y'all sound the same, auto-tune didn't help. And we are waste management, bitch. J.R. Big Ben, yeah, we back on the shit. Beats cold enough to freeze ya. Rhymes that will scold ya. Yeah, I know it just began, but it's over. Over, 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 over. Yeah, I know it just began, but it's over. Over, over, it's over. Yeah, I know it just began, but it's over. Over, waste management.